Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, X, @MultiformPod. This is episode 261. I'm your host, Tim Shelton, and I'm joined by my friend, Gus Harden.
Hello.
Spencer couldn't be with us this week. He's still out of town on his trip. I assume he'll be back next week. I'm a little disappointed.
I think he's on his way back right now.
Yeah, because he said he would miss 2 weeks, and this is the second
week. Yeah, I think it sounds like they have an evening flight back from Colorado.
I think the week after Starfield comes out, I have a trip coming up, but I'll probably record on the road, depending on what days I'm traveling and stuff. We'll see. Okay, so this week, I don't think we're going to have a very long what we've been playing section because Gus and I are playing a lot of the usual and there is quite a bit of news. So let's get right into that. And I'll go first just to say I'm still playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I played a ton of it this week. I'm at about 100 hours played and I'm sort of getting near the end of the main campaign. I still have 3 or 4 areas in the map to go to, but I'm going faster now, but I am doing a lot of side content. So that's why it's taking me a good amount of time. But my goal was to play that until Starfield came out. So I'm still on pace for that. I also preloaded Starfield on my desktop, my Xbox Series X, and my laptop. So the only place I haven't preloaded it is my Series S, but that's because I normally take my Series S with me on a trip. But I don't need to because I'm going to preload it on my laptop and I'm just going to take my laptop instead. So I am going to take Starfield with me. But yeah, I'm just playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Literally, when we're done recording, I'm going to go play some more of it. The only thing I wanted to call out about Valhalla is I did the Vinland arc where you go to the Americas and it has a small like cameo appearance of like a future thing that you'll see in Assassin's Creed 3, which I thought was pretty cool. I still, even though I'm liking Valhalla more the more time I've spent with it, I still maintain it's definitely the weakest of the three of the RPGs, and it just doesn't feel like an Assassin's Creed game. It feels like a Viking simulator. It feels very much like Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag was a pirate game, but not quite as good. Like they made some decisions in it that just feel a little off. Also, it feels like because the map is so empty and spread out and it's all wilderness, it just feels like you spend half your time just walking or riding a horse just endlessly. I think it would have benefited quite a bit from having more fast travel points around the map so that you spend less time just like meandering around on horseback trying to get to your next location.
Yeah,
but I've talked about it so much recently. I don't want to belabor the point. What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I finished the current, I guess you would call it, battle pass on World of Warships Legends. This is the second one that I've ever done, where I've done all 100 levels of this season's campaign. So I finished that yesterday, went ahead and spent the $10 as a birthday gift to myself to unlock the battle pass. And then it gave me all of the extra stuff that comes with it. Like, obviously I went through the 100 levels, got the free stuff.
Yep.
And then because I only had to spend $10, I got a free ship and a whole bunch of like other stuff. I just spent the $10 and I got like a whole bunch of crap and it was kind of nice. But that's only the second time I've done it.
After the last time we talked about this last week or the week before, I did look into the creator program and I was going to put in an application for you. But one of the the requirement to be in the creator program, to be honest, there wasn't like a ton of benefit. Like you got to try out stuff.
You probably have to actively stream it.
Well, they have an other category for like websites and podcasting.
Yeah.
Basically, the expectation is you disseminate information for them, like patch notes and updates and news bits. And I just feel like we cover some World of Warships stuff on the show as news, but like the amount they would expect of us,
it would have to be like its own podcast.
Yeah. It's really suited for somebody that's a World of Warships podcaster / YouTuber, not somebody like a show that You know, like, we don't cover all the news. We cover what we think is interesting to us every week. Like, I cut a piece of news this week that I'm sure a lot of Xbox podcasts will talk about, which is the new Xbox enforcement system for, like, but there's controversy around it, and I just really don't care. Like, I don't interact that much with the enforcement stuff. I did look and see I have no enforcement strikes on my account, so.
Yeah, but.
For better or worse.
You'll note ahead. That I said it's only the second time I've done that, where I've done all 100 levels, and you must be thinking with how much I play it that that's kind of shocking. And that's because it is kind of shocking, because it takes a lot of work to get all of the levels done. That already kind of excludes me from their content creator program, because like I play it a lot, but like it's not like something that like I'm able to do like every single month, like finish the whole pass or whatever.
I played hundreds of hours of Destiny 2, PUBG, and Apex Legends, and between the three of those, I only bought the battle pass. On all three of those, I think I bought a total of like three battle passes. Two in Apex Legends and one in Destiny.
And Snaps is easy, and that's like it's very easy. Like I always finish it like a week before it's done.
I think that's a symptom of it being a mobile game where they have to keep it. People have to feel like they're like,
well, true, but also
making
it's
progress
like,
constantly, or you lose their attention on their phones.
But I'm not saying they should do this, but I'm sure they probably will. They could just add levels like that. They could add like five or 10 more levels to it.
Well, they do give you that, like you can earn extra packs or whatever after you reach the top level.
I agree.
So there is an incentive to keep leveling up on their pass, which is. I kind of like that actually as a battle pass design, like give you 50 or 100 levels and then make levels 101 through 1,000 drop extra whatever.
That's what it is on the Legends, is that every level past 100 on the battle pass is 5 steel, which they have ships that you can buy with steel. They have other stuff you can buy with steel, but the ship's the only thing I care about. There's only 2 in the game. And so if you're getting 5 steel per level, and I've leveled up like 10 times past it since then, I mean, that's only 50 steel. These ships are like tens of thousands of steel. Like it's like, which they said steel is something that it's supposed to be for like the hardcore players. Like we want it to like meet and like
in-game
mean something
currency.
Basically. Yes. And it's not like you can't buy it. The only way you can acquire it, as far as I know, is through completing in-game stuff. So that's what it's like, an exclusive currency. I really just want the USS Missouri. That is like the, and they just dropped how much you need, but like I only have like 1700, I think, or like 1500, and the Missouri, even after it's been discounted, is still like 17,500.
I'm so burnt out on battle passes, and I've never been a huge supporter of them as far as like what I buy, but I saw somebody on Twitter, X, gosh, I'm going to get that wrong every time because it's so stupid, that made a point of saying, like, all these companies are chasing live service games with battle passes and monetization, but all of them are built around the, like, structure of, like, this is the only game you play. And so that works for a small, or maybe it's a big portion of the audience that maybe only plays Fortnite or only plays Apex or only plays PUBG or only plays World of Warships or World of Tanks. But I think the vast majority of people that buy game consoles want to play more than one game. That's the whole model of Game Pass, right? Like play all these different games, play whatever you want. Just pay.
I guess the Battle Pass makes it worth it though, for like people who only play one game.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
But no, it's I'm with you on that.
A lot of, well, think of all the live service games that have failed. Like that dodgeball game went away pretty quickly. There was another one, the Rocket Arena one seemed to fade away pretty quickly. And PlayStation had that Destruction Derby All-Stars or whatever it was that didn't seem to last very long. Anyway, I'm off the beaten path here. Anything else you played this week you want to highlight?
No, just Hearts of Iron 4. I got back into that a little bit.
Have you preloaded Starfield yet?
I think so. I don't know. Do I have to do anything special? I have it on my Xbox. It's like there.
It should have. I don't know. It probably automatically did it. It has to download like a 110 gigabyte update for
to
get ready.
I'll check it whenever we finish here.
And I suspect there's probably going to be a day one patch too, but I don't know if that's going to come on actual day one or the pre or the early access day one. Did you buy a version where you're going to get early access?
I didn't buy anything.
Okay, so you're going to get it on September 6th.
Yeah.
I think Spencer and I both bought early access, which gets it. I'm really confused about the time. I think it's supposed to be September 1st, but I think it might unlock on August 30th or 31st.
I think that sounds right.
Late at night or something, depending on the time zone or whatever, which is good for me because the 6th is, I think, the weekend that I'm traveling. And so if it comes out a week earlier with early access, I'll get to play more of it. There are spoilers out there, which I've been easily avoiding because I only follow reputable stuff on Twitter. So it's easy to just avoid it in my feed, and I'm skipping past anything Starfield related on like Reddit and other places. But there are spoilers out there, and I see people complaining about it more than I actually see the spoilers themselves. But I mean, what do you expect? They gave review codes out to like everybody. I heard that content creators weren't going to get review codes until the early access launch on September 1st. But then a bunch of content creators that I follow, or at least I'm aware of, I saw announced that they were reviewing the game. So I'm like, well, clearly that wasn't the case. So if you give codes out far and wide, eventually somebody's going to break NDA and, you know, leak a few details, but it's whatever. Did you see the controversy about, this is the dumbest thing ever, the menu screen? People are like, some idiot at some other developer said, you could tell this game was rushed out the door because the menu screen is basic. And Pete Hines...
Tell me when you've ever seen a not basic Bethesda loading screen.
That's what Pete Hines said. He said, this is the loading screen we've used for all of our games. It works for us. This was the first thing we locked down. We didn't do anything different.
You don't need different. An interesting menu. Like, it's not a DVD, like, main menu. Like, it doesn't, like, you don't need all this other crap on there. Like
ask Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 how that worked out for their menu.
Look at Skyrim. Skyrim is literally the logo, and then, like,
that's what Starfield is. It's the logo and like five little pieces of text in a box. It's
all
the exact same.
You spend almost no time on it. Like it doesn't matter.
I appreciate simplicity, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, they, why would they spend the extra like required data space on a complex menu? Like Fallout 4 is probably the most complex Bethesda menu I think I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's, it pans across like the Red Rocket.
I can't remember if it's a video or if it's rendered, because if it's rendered, it uses more, you know, resources.
It's just,
but I think it's a video.
All it is just like, it's just like zooming in on like power armor, and that's like it.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, let's move on to some news because it'll kind of tie in a little bit. So first big story of the week, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is officially confirmed. It was announced. There was an event in Warzone, I believe. I didn't participate because I didn't care. Figured I'd just pick up the details afterwards. They announced a lot of stuff that seems to be very positively received in the community. But I hope they fix those menus for Modern Warfare 2, because that was the thing I hated the most about Modern Warfare 2. But here's the details. So Makarov was teased in the campaign trailer, as well as a text message that said no Russian, which was also teased at the end of Modern Warfare 2.
I liked that part because the gun that he has, it's like it's a Glock, but you can tell it's like some sort of polymer.
Airplane.
Yeah, which is like a nice touch, I guess. It's like they were... it's like they're mixing the No Russian mission with that the final mission of COD 4, the Mile Airplane. High Club or whatever.
I'm interested to see how they put their own stamp on it, because they're obviously not going to do No Russian the same again. They're going to do something different. But
yeah,
I like that they brought back controversial.
I like that they brought back the Gulag, which was like a Modern Warfare 2 thing, but that you go into a Gulag in the new game.
Yeah, so it's a direct sequel to last year's Modern Warfare 2. One of the big things they're touting is something they're calling open combat missions in the single-player story, where you basically, it's not a linear story anymore, where you have some points where you can approach things different ways. You can try and do it all stealth, or you can guns out, different choices. I wonder how elaborate that's going to be, because I think Black Ops 2... had some stuff like that where you could kind of make some small decision points and stuff, and you could have had a little more choice. it was less than what they're promising here, but you know how Call of Duty is. It's always iterative. It's not like, it's not a, they never flip the tables. They always just make small little tweaks. So I don't know that open combat missions is really, I'm expecting limited open, if that makes sense. Other things that they're bringing back are faster aim down sights out of slide, reload canceling, slide canceling, and the mini map is back in multiplayer. Like, they're just like giving people what they want.
Casual players punched in the air right now.
Everybody, these are all the things they took away in Modern Warfare 2, by the way.
And like, all just, it was such a controversy then because like casual players like myself were all like, great, awesome. It's one less tool that like the sweats, as they would call them, could abuse in game to like play really well. But I didn't really play much Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer, so it didn't really affect me.
They also said health is going to be 150 to increase time to kill, because time to kill was a complaint of the last game. I assume it means 150%, because the last game was probably 100. So they're saying we're giving it an additional 50%. I didn't see a clarification on that. Also, they're getting rid of the perk system for Modern Warfare 2, which I really did not like. And they're all perks will be available at the start of the match. Not like they were in Modern Warfare 2 where you had to like earn them, you know, like based on your performance throughout the match, you'd unlock certain perks and then they would turn on and off based on your performance. I like going back to the old system where you set up your perks at the beginning of your match and that's your kit. They're also bringing back map voting, which seems like a small thing, but sure, you're playing the hits, go for it. And then here's the biggest thing I want to talk about. So at launch, they're going to have all 16 launch maps from 2009's Modern Warfare 2 remastered and modernized in the game. So all 16 maps from the original Modern Warfare 2 are going to be updated, modernized, remastered, and put into Modern Warfare 3. This, to me,
is
confirmation that this started as DLC for Modern Warfare 2. Because why would you take maps from Modern Warfare 2 for Modern Warfare 3? If this started as Modern Warfare 3, they probably would have remastered maps from Modern Warfare 3, but they were too far into the pipeline building Modern Warfare 2 maps at the point they decided for this not to be DLC, like the rumors were. So then when they changed their mind and said, oh, it's Modern Warfare 3, they just dusted it under the rug. We're doing everybody's favorite COD or whatever.
Man, dude, I'm hype. I'm looking back at the list now of all of these things, like all these maps, and man, High Rise.
Hang on, I still got more good news for you, my
Rust.
Friend.
Rust.
This is going to be the first Modern
Warfare
game.
Quickscope on Rust. Quickscope, I believe. 1v1 me on Rust.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 will have zombies. And I believe this is the first Modern Warfare game to have zombies, correct?
It is.
And supposedly, it's also going to be the largest zombies map of any zombies in a Call of Duty game. Mm. And it's like
I don't know
full...
just how much bigger they need to be, but I wonder if it's going to be a somehow... if it's like a separate thing from the World War II zombies, or if it's just going to be like somehow a continuation, because I remember the storyline like from like World at War up through like Black Ops 2 or whatever, like the OG one was like by the end of its lifespan was like extremely convoluted. Like they were like,
yeah,
they were like going to alternate universes, like, which is, that's just like kind of what happens. It's like a TV show, like
eventually
it just goes off the rails.
The developer on zombies for Modern Warfare 3 is also Treyarch. So Treyarch is doing zombies, which they are the zombie studio. Yeah. And then Modern Warfare 3 proper is being made by Sledgehammer Games.
Yeah.
Which is the third
arm
third
of Activision
tier.
Or whatever.
It was the third studio to be created. We'll call it that. I don't know what tier or order I would put them in. But yeah, so this all seems good. I always play the campaign for Call of Duty every year. And I usually play a little bit of multiplayer. And this all sounds fine. Like, this sounds good. I'm interested to see how they reinterpret Makarov and No Russian for... Yeah. Modern, because if you think about it, 2009, that was 8 years after 9/11 and very in the like Iraq war era, and now we're in a very different era of modern military conflict and what's going on around the world. So I'm curious how that affects the No Russian, especially because we're currently in a Ukraine-Russia war There's very interesting stuff just to be interpreted through the lens of popular media. So I'm curious.
I'm excited. I'm excited, man. They had me at the remastered maps and zombies, because you know zombies is like my bread and butter for Call of Duty.
Yeah, I didn't jot it down, but I think they also said they're going to add 12 6v6 maps over the next year. So like every quarter, they're going to add 3 new maps. So they're also going to have new maps. And there are a few maps in addition to the 16 remastered maps that I think are for like larger game types. So, yeah. Any final thoughts on Modern Warfare 3 before I move on?
Nope. I love what they have done with bringing Modern Warfare back. They've had nothing but hits for me personally.
Yeah.
So keep on doing what you're doing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, you could say they fixed some stuff that was kind of broken on Modern Warfare 2. The only thing that's left that they need to get me to be a bigger supporter is fix those stupid menus. I hope they heard the feedback that everyone hated the menus in Modern Warfare 2.
Yes, I hate that.
I don't know why. Also, I'm sure I've done this rant on Call of Duty before. I don't understand why when you launch Call of Duty, after updating the game files, you go to the menu and then it says your game is out of date. We need to update it. And it restarts the game to get like, I don't know, server information or something. But it's always had that little box that pops up in Call of Duty to do that ever since the beginning of time. It's the only game that does that. It's the only game that forces you back to the main menu every single time you update the game. And it's not even every time you update the game. Sometimes if you just haven't played it in a day or two, or even a few hours, you go back in and it's like, oh, we need to restart. And it boots the game back to the menu and starts over. It's so weird. And I don't know.
It reminds me Shades of Madden. It's like Shades of Madden anytime. It's like you could never, ever do the quick resume on it, because it would be like, you've been disconnected from the EA servers. And it sends you back to the main menu. I'm like,
yeah,
gosh.
Still waiting on Phil Spencer's comment that he would look into disabling quick resume on some games.
Yeah. So it's like, it just doesn't make sense on games like that. World of Warships is another game that suffers from that. Every time you like leave it, you'll come back and say you've been disconnected for inactivity.
But the difference is Call of Duty does that even if you're not quick resumed. Like if you boot it up, it'll kick you, and you click A to go into the menu, it'll then say, oh, I'm sorry, your server's out of date. We need to kick you back. Every single time, almost.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense in World of Warships because they probably don't like... They need to keep... I don't know what their server load is, but they probably are like, well, if people are leaving the game, like we need to just kick them out so that way the servers
don't that makes sense.
Get
like,
too many people sitting
if
idle.
If you leave your game suspended or idle, kicking you, making you go back to the menu to reconnect, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's more that... why do you have to update the game files, then boot the game, go through the start menu, and then it says you need to update something else? And why is it the only game that does it that way? Or at least the only popular one that I'm aware of. And I'm reminded of, if you've seen the movie Wedding Crashers, when they go to meet Chaz, and it's played by Will Ferrell, and he lives in his mom's house, and she's making meatloaf in the kitchen. And he's like, Ma, meatloaf! And he says, I never know what she's doing back there. That's how I feel about Call of Duty. I never know what they're doing back there.
I don't know.
What are they doing?
It brought me back to the whole, like, bathroom! From South Park. The World of Warcraft episode. Oh, man. Classic.
Number two. The Xbox 360 store is shutting down next year.
Pour one out.
Yeah, pour one out, but before, it's not going to make it till its 20th birthday. That's sad. Here's a couple details on it. So they're going to shut it down on July 29th, 2024. So you got 11 months. I'll just read their bullet points here. Xbox will stop supporting the ability to purchase new games, DLC, and other entertainment content from the Xbox 360 store on the console and the Xbox 360 marketplace, which is the old marketplace.xbox.com. Second point, related to this change, Microsoft Movies and TV app will no longer function on 360. This means TV and movie content will no longer be viewable on 360 after July 29th. And this change will not affect the ability to play Xbox 360 games or DLC that you have already purchased or re-download them. And finally, after July 29th, you will still be able to purchase hundreds of great backwards compatible Xbox 360 and original Xbox games and DLC on Xbox One, Xbox X, S, and Xbox.com. So basically, they're only shutting it down on 360 for games that are locked on 360. So any game that's backwards compatible, you'll still be able to buy on newer consoles. So some games will go away. If they never were backwards compatible and they're digital only, as in they never had a disc version, those games will cease to exist and never be accessible again. If they were not backwards compatible and they're on 360, but they had a disc version, the disc version in the future will be the only way to get those games. So there are some games. I saw Video Game Chronicle calculated it at about like 220 games that are digital only and not backwards compatible that'll just cease to exist. But I looked through the list and a lot of them are like, yeah, I'm not really missing out on most of this. Or I own it already.
Do you remember what the last game that you bought digitally on the Xbox Store was, Tim?
I would guess that it was probably Red Dead Redemption because I own the disc. And when they put it on sale for like $5 or $10, I was like, oh, I'll just buy another copy of this so I don't have to go find my disc. And so I bought it digitally. But that was on my Xbox One when I bought it, or it might even been my Series X. I'm pretty sure that would have been the last one that I purchased. It for money, not including games with gold redeems.
Spencer will probably, he knows this is the last one I bought, and of course he's probably punching air every time I mention it, but the last game that I know for sure that I bought on the 360 store digitally was NCAA Football 14, which is the last one they ever made, and you can't get it, you can't get it on there now anyway, but it's just funny because like it's one of those games where it's like, it's so highly sought after, like people are selling it for like $100+ online. Like for like a disc copy.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so a thing I want to bring up about this, and if somebody has a solution to this problem or thinks they know an answer to this that I don't, please at me on Twitter. But right now, if you boot up a 360, there's no way to go like to My Games and Apps like you can on Xbox One to see all the games you own digitally. So in the past, the only way I knew to re-download games was to go to the store and click, it would say download instead of buy because I already owned it. So in the future, when they shut down the store, how are you going to be able to re-download games when there's no place like My Games and Apps that lists them all and the store will cease to exist? They say you're still going to be able to re-download the games that you own, but how is that going to work? I don't even know which games I own digitally on 360. I own hundreds. And I don't know which ones there are, maybe not hundreds. I own many dozens, at least probably 50 to 75, including games with gold. It's easily over 100. And I have no idea which ones. The only way for me to figure it out is just to search for it on the store and be like, oh, great, I already own this. I forgot I bought this, because most of my games I owned on disc until like the very end of the 360 life cycle, where I started buying a few things digitally. So I have no idea how this is going to work. And I would love to just like go download them all and, you know, plug in an external hard drive and just get everything downloaded since the store's going away. And someday they'll probably shut down the re-download ability. Maybe not. I hope not. But I feel like it's inevitable, at least in the next 30 years. But I just don't know how that's going to work. Like, I know I own a ton of games. I have no idea how to access them. Saints Row 3, for example. I know I own that digitally. I don't own it on disc. If I wanted to re-download the original Saints Row 3 after they shut down the store, how will that work? Are they actually going to send out a system update for 360 when they close the store? Or is the store button still going to be there and it's just not going to work? Like, I just have so many questions about this that were not answered by their Q&A. They do say you can still download stuff, though. So I assume they have a solution, but I don't know what it is. If you do, or you know another way to download games that you own or see everything that you own all in one place, I would love to know about it, because I'm curious what games I do own on 360 that I may have forgotten about since it's been 17 years. Yeah. So any comments from you, Gus, besides your NCAA, which will be back next year?
Is that next summer?
Well, that's the...
I know they hate, well, ever since they instituted the NIL thing, which, man, I saw that there's this, granted, she's like a TikTok like star, like she's an LSU gymnast, and they like said how much money she makes off of the NIL, and it's $3.4 million. And I'm sure that doesn't even include like extra stuff that she gets. Like she probably has to rake in close to like $4 million a year. And I'm like,
interesting.
But no, I'm I mean, obviously sad to see it go, but again, I haven't bought a game on there for like probably five years.
I know, because I went and looked at the list of ones that are not backwards compatible, the ones that are truly going away, and I was like, oh, are there any of these that I want to buy before they're gone? And I looked at the list. I linked it if you want to see it in our show notes. It's the second link under this story. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to miss the vast majority of these, or I already own them. I couldn't find one that I was like, oh, I'm going to buy this before it goes away, because I don't want to miss out. And I mean, you got to remember back in the 360 days, the games that were digital only tended to be arcade games until the end, when games started releasing digital as well as disc.
The Doritos party game.
Yeah, like small stuff like that. But a lot of
I love that game though.
But all the high profile stuff is backwards compatible.
Oh, Doritos Crash Course. Yeah.
That one's backwards compatible, I'm pretty sure. Because it wasn't on the list.
It is, because it's on my it's not on my Xbox, but it's in my list of like owned games on Xbox.
I remember
One,
playing that game.
I might have even crap out of it.
I might even got all the achievements on it. I may have 100%ed it. I don't remember. I remember playing a lot of it. I was like, this is surprisingly good. It was way better than the Burger King pack-in games.
I have not. The last game I 100%ed was World of Warships.
Well, yeah, obviously. That was like a week or two ago. Maybe
longer
a month
than
ago.
That, I think. Yeah, like a month or so ago. I know. Mentioned it on here.
Okay, number three. Assassin's Creed Mirage has gone gold, and surprise, surprise, it has moved up its release date to 1 week sooner. It is now coming out on October 5th. Prior to that, it was scheduled for October 12th, so they moved it up a whole week, which is maybe a show of confidence. I don't know what else is coming out in October that they might be trying to avoid, but maybe they're just like, oh, the game's ready, let's get it out there. They weren't the only one to change their release date.
Sure it is. Sure it's ready. Yeah, release it a week earlier.
Oh, I'm trying to remember now.
In the era of delays, I do not see this panning out well. Like I just don't. I see it getting delayed. Like I see them either moving it back to the original date, or it even getting delayed further, and it's just going to be another story for us to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Somehow I missed this in my show notes. I had it jotted down, and then I didn't get into the show notes. This week we also had Alan Wake 2 was delayed 10 days, and they said specifically they delayed it now to October 27th, and they specifically said the reason was to make room for all the other great games. In fact, here's the quote. October is an amazing month for game launches, and we hope this date shift gives more space for everyone to enjoy their favorite games. We can't wait to show everyone our favorite novelist is up to in Dark Place next week. Next week. Thanks for you for the patience. So I guess next week they're going to reveal the game. So they moved it back to October 27th, which also moves it closer to Halloween, which, since it's a spooky game, is kind of a nice fit for that game. But it's interesting. Assassin's Creed moved up a week. Alan Wake 2 moved back a week. Just interesting strategies. I'm trying to open that back up, and I lost my window somehow here. There it is. Okay, perfect. And okay, so I don't really have much to add there with Assassin's Creed Mirage. I'm obviously playing Valhalla to get ready for it. But who knows if I'll be ready by the time it comes out, because we've got Starfield and several other games coming out before that our crew on this podcast is interested in. In fact, I jotted a note of games coming up that we're probably, as a podcast, interested in. And we've got Starfield on September 6th. Phantom Liberty, Cyberpunk, September 26th. Assassin's Creed Mirage, October 5th. Forza Motorsports, October 10th. For me, I've got Marvel Spider-Man 2, October 20th, but that's on PS5. Cities Skylines 2, October 24th. Metal Gear Solid Collection, 10/24. Modern Warfare 3, November 10th. And then Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, December 7th. So that's my major hit list for Xbox plus Spider-Man for the fall. Okay, number four. So we talked about this a month or so, maybe a month and a half ago on the show, Embracer Group had a deal that fell through that was supposed to be for a $2 billion like investment of capital. And they didn't say who it was with or any details. It has now come out, and I'm trying to get the original source up here, that the person that the deal fell through with was actually the Saudi wealth funds, Savvy Games Group. So that's the gaming arm of the Saudi royal family, the Saudi wealth fund. And the source of this is Axios, Stephen Totilo. And he says, Scoop, the mystery partner who walked away from the $2 billion deal with Embracer last May was the Saudi government-funded Savvy Games Group. So I bring this up on the show just to say, like, Embracer Group was going to get $2 billion from the Saudi wealth fund. That's a lot of money, and that's the kind of, like, that's not by Activision amount of money like Microsoft is thrown down, but this is the fear, right? Like, you don't want, I don't know, a Sega or a Square Enix or anybody else that is smaller than Bethesda or smaller than Activision, but big enough to be a big third party to get scooped up by the Saudi wealth fund. We don't want what happened with LIV Golf to become the future of what video game development is. And I think Saudi wealth fund is probably the worst current threat to like gaming acquisitions. Like we complain sometimes about like Tencent and how like Chinese investment in some ways is not the best thing for gaming at large. But I think the Saudi wealth fund is way worse. They have human rights problems and they're basically trying to divest from oil by investing in other things like entertainment and video games and WWE and sports with LIV Golf. And it just feels dirty. Gus is just nodding. Nothing to add, Gus?
I mean, I guess the whole, like, you and Spencer have always been much more in tune with the whole, like, business side of the ecosystem than I have been. But I remember being interested in seeing which company it was that where it fell through, because I was trying to think of like somebody who was so big, but it's like I didn't even think of Saudi backed companies, which I know a lot of people in general are kind of worried about with right now, especially with like the whole like LIV Golf thing, which is Saudi backed.
I wonder why it didn't go through.
Yeah,
like that is the big question now. Like, yeah. who pulled? I don't think Embracer pulled out because this really hurt them.
Yeah.
So why did the Saudis pull out?
Yeah.
I wonder if they saw the Embracer's like chaos of financials and were like, oh, we don't want anything to do with this super glued together company of like 50,000 acquisitions. Okay, well, let's move on from that to happier times, or will we? We're getting into the lighter news of the week. So number five, Halo is teasing a crossover with Rainbow Six Siege on social media. As of recording this, they haven't officially confirmed it, but we have a leak from Clobril on Twitter/X. He tweeted out a video which was copyright struck and taken down, but write-ups of people that saw the video say that it was Master Chief, a Master Chief skin for Rainbow Six Siege, where the Master Chief skin takes over the Sledge elite skin. So you play as Sledge and his elite skin is Master Chief, and his sledgehammer is replaced by like a gravity hammer from Halo.
That's pretty cool though.
Yeah. I don't really have a problem with these crossovers. Some people I think don't like the whole, like, everything crosses over with everything, but
yeah, it's like immersion breaking.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with it as long as it's cosmetic and it's optional.
That's the nice thing about World of Warships is that they have an option because they have all these weird looking ships that are inspired by like animes.
Yep.
And you have the option to turn those skins off in the menu.
For the opposing team and yourself, right?
Yes. Yeah, just like in general. Because it's like, I mean, me, I have all of those turned off with the exception of a couple that the ones that I own.
Yeah.
But no, because it's like... because they have Azur Lane is like a massive like anime about ships, and the thing is that apparently those commanders are like basically pay to win because you buy them, and they just have better skills than other commanders do. Mm. But the thing is like, it is so, and this is just me personal preference, it is so distracting having a basically like a little Japanese girl like yelling in Japanese the whole like time you're playing. I'm just like, it's like it's just like yeah. it's just so distracting. Like I could be okay with like the skins and stuff, but I use one of those commanders because I got
VO is what you
free find, yeah, and the voiceover, I was like, I turned it off or I turned it back on once because I wanted to see everything, and I was like, this is like horrific to have to like listen to the whole match, every match. And I'm sure funny. For people who are like weebs or whatever, people who are into that kind of stuff, they're like, oh, whatever, I like it. But me, I was like, I can't deal with it. It's too distracting the whole time.
You went to the exact same place I was going to go, which is, remember when they added skins to Halo, the Master Chief Collection, for games that didn't originally have it, like Halo 3?
Yeah.
Their thing was, we're going to put in a toggle and you can turn it off for everyone. So you don't including the other team. So if you want a pure Halo experience, yeah, with just...
If I don't want to see it on my team, or if I don't want to see it on the other team, that I don't want to see it on my team either.
Yeah, exactly.
And like if I have
it, can be immersion breaking.
Yes, if I already have,
and if
that
you
preference,
want to turn that off, you should be able to.
Yes, I agree, and I'm glad that that's been instituted in certain games.
But
at least the one that I play,
it's also like, I don't know whether Siege has a toggle like that, but I mean, they've had other guest skins. I think what do you call it? Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell, and I don't know if there's been other crossovers from other media.
Which those are kind of fine, because it's like, they still kind of fit the
Tom,
actual...
And it's still Tom Clancy, yeah, family.
And it fits the overarching, I guess, I can't really think of the word, but like it fits in that world. But
I wonder when this officially gets announced, if Master Chief's skin will be available on PlayStation Siege, or if it's only going to be on Xbox. Something tells me you'll be able to get it on other platforms, because I think you could get the Master Chief skin and the Kratos skin in Fortnite on all platforms. I mean, it's obviously up to each individual developer and each licensee about how they do that. And Master Chief, you know, maybe they wrote the license differently this time, but it's interesting nonetheless. Master Chief continues to appear in lots of stuff because, you know, he's been in fighting games. He's been in Fortnite. He's been in other stuff. So it's not a surprise, but it is interesting. It's less weird than that whole crossover with, I don't know how to say it, I'm sorry, but the nail polish company, they did that crossover with Forza for special colors of the cars. And if you bought the nail polish, you got special skins in Forza for your cars. I think it's called Oppie or Opie. OPI, I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's a nail polish brand. So that's a very interesting one. But I guess, you know, as they try and diversify marketing to be more than just like running football ads, that it makes sense to do, you know, soft drinks and beauty brands and all kinds of other stuff just to get different types of audiences. Okay, number six. This is a small one. DC Universe Online, the originally a PS3, was it PS3 second party or first party? I think it was second party studio, and it was a PlayStation 3 exclusive, and then the studio went independent and it came to Xbox One and PS4, and now DC Universe Online is getting this holiday season. It's being updated for current gen, PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. I cannot believe this game is still alive. They're on like season pass expansion number like 44 after like 10 years over 10 years on the market. So good on them. I did have a time that I played this for like hard for like 6 months, and then I burned out of it because it's a pretty hardcore MMO. It's not really an MMO. I don't even know what to call the genre that it's in, but you make a custom character. You don't actually play as DC characters. You're just in their world, but it felt really cool in its time. It feels old by today's standards, but a lot of people still like that genre. So it's cool. I'm glad they're bringing it to the next gen. I hope that they add some cool stuff. I'm expecting just, you know, like a higher frame rate and maybe resolution. I don't think they're reworking the graphics in any way beyond like maybe, you know, better lighting or stuff like that. Number seven, along a similar line, it seems like we might finally be getting Minecraft on next gen, because there was a rating in Germany for a Series X version of the game. And that's all we really know. And so we can't really hypothesize or anything, but they have talked in the past about wanting to get ray tracing into Minecraft, potentially on PC, but also maybe on console. And there are mods, and I think there was like a beta. I don't know if it ever made it officially into the PC version. Maybe it did. I'm really fuzzy on my memory on this. But a next-gen version, you know, higher frame rates, better resolution, maybe some ray tracing. I mean, it's Minecraft, so the graphics aren't exactly like, you know, the most realistic. It's squares. But they certainly could improve it in a few ways that are just quality of life and stuff. Gus, I don't think you or I, either of us, has played the original Minecraft in quite a few years at this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a moment with it a couple years ago, I want to say. And it's something I like to kind of like keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it does kind of hold that special part in my gaming history.
Yeah.
But it always just seems like so much to get into. Like, it seems so overwhelming to like get into like a whole new world every time a thing comes out. Because the thing is, it's like, it's not so different from the beginning that like when you get into it, like if you were to start like a new world, that it would be so different from what you've already played that it's like, Dad, I really want to like put up with as much of the stuff that I already know just for the new stuff. Maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah, I get that. I think my time with it's done. I don't know that I'll ever go back to it unless something really, really cool happens that I'm like, oh, I gotta check this out.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe in a couple more years.
Ray tracing might get me to just go in just to check out the technology piece of it. Like, hey, I'm going to spend 30 minutes like just looking at how cool it looks, but I'm not probably ever going to get back into it. It's just a thing that's in my rear view at this point. Okay, number 8, this is the final story. Game Pass additions for the back half of August. This seems pretty light, but I got a feeling they did that because Starfield is coming up, and you don't really want to send games to die going into Game Pass a week before Starfield. So you've got Firewatch, which I think was on Game Pass, left, and is now coming back. It's coming back August 17th, which has already passed by a lot. So that was 4 days ago. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is also out now. That came out on the 18th. And then Sea of Stars, which is one that's had a lot of promotion. That one looks kind of interesting. That one's coming August 29th. And then Gris, which I feel like we've talked about before. I swear it was given away for free, either on PC or PlayStation. Somewhere I got a copy of that for free, I swear. But Gris is coming September 5th. And at that point, it's Starfield September 6th. So they don't list that here, but everybody knows that. And if you have Starfield on Game Pass, I think you can buy the expansion pass or whatever, standalone, or not the deluxe edition upgrade or whatever it's called, for like $30 or $35, and that gets you early access. Gus, I don't know what you just put in the chat, what that means. Oh,
it's gonna be 100 degrees on Thursday.
I thought you were still talking about a gaming thing.
No,
I was like,
no.
100? What do you mean 100?
No, I just looked at my phone and I saw that I'm gonna be miserable this week.
I mean, it was downright muggy out today.
Oh my goodness. I didn't leave my house all day because I just wanted to stay in and rest because I know it's gonna be hot this week. And then I was just like looking. I left to go to the store for the week, and I was like, the air was just so heavy.
I grilled out last night. We had some friends over, some friends of my daughter's, and we're friends with the parents.
It was beautiful the last couple of days, though.
Yeah, it was nice. I grilled there was cloud cover, so it was warm but breezy. I grilled hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken. My wife made some vegetables to go with it. It was great.
I had sushi last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's all I got this week as far as news. I'm going to go and play Assassin's Creed as soon as I finish publishing this episode. And I think Spencer touch down, or is any he in a layover?
He's back.
Okay. While we were recording, we got a message from him about what movie he watched on the airplane, but he implied that it got cut off by the landing, and I didn't know if that was a layover or if he was here.
Spencer, he's back.
He's now home. So look, we started this podcast and he was in another state, and now here he is.
Yep.
It's almost like he could have recorded.
If there's Wi-Fi on the plane, Spencer, there's no reason to not be on.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure everyone else on the plane would absolutely love that. I was telling a story about the first time we took our kids on an airplane. So we at the time they were a year and a half. So if your kids were a year and a half old, you don't have to buy a seat for them. They can sit on your lap. But plane seats in most airplanes in the middle America flights are three on one side and three on the other. So if you, and I have two twin 1.5 year olds at the time, if me and my wife had sat in two seats, there would have been a third person that had to sit next to us. And I was a kind soul and I bought that third seat so that no one would have to sit next to my two 1.5 year olds. So whoever would have randomly gotten that seat was like graciously spared. Well, actually, I guess they weren't on the plane because I bought the seat, but no one had to sit in that seat because I bought it so that nobody would have to sit next to two crying 1.5 year olds, which I feel like was me like falling on the sword. I don't know if that was going overboard, but it was also a little selfish because like I wanted that as a staging area, right? Like if I need to sit the kid down for a second to like, shuffle them around or pass, between me and my wife, we had a seat between us where the kids could like sit and do things. But I don't know how I got on this story. Oh, it's because we were talking about Spencer's airplane. Made me think of, because I just told this story 2 days ago. No one on this podcast cares, but only the truest of listeners make it this far into the podcast. And this is where in every other podcast, people would start promoting their Patreon, like and subscribe, rate us on this place or that place, go to our merch store. I'm just going to say, hey, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Tim Shelton. I'd love to have you over there. Please message me. I'd love to talk to you. Just talk about video games. I love them so much. Gus?
I'm Gus Harden. You won't be able to do that unless you tweet at MultiformPod on x.com.
Thanks for listening.
I'm going to go read a book when I'm done here. I went to Half Price Books and there was one that was on my Amazon wish list.
You did it again. We're at the outro, and right before I could say bye, you just start on another topic. 2 weeks in a row, you did this to me.
Well, you said what you were doing after, so I wanted to say what I'm doing after.
Oh, that's true. That's fair. I'm Tim Shelton. Give me a chance. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.